Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. On this, the 43rd anniversary of the first moon landing. Today is Friday, July 20th, 2012. Hope you're having a great day and looking forward to a wonderful weekend. I am Bill Buckmaster, and we thank you for choosing the Buckmaster Show. We're live Monday through Friday at noon on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We stream the show at buckmastershow.com and at kvoi.com, and we post the program, make it very easy for you to find us at buckmastershow.com. TucsonCitizen.com carrying our show, as does TucsonSentinel.com. Our Friday Focus interview today is with Carolyn Cox. Ms. Cox is the chair of the Pima County Republican Party. Joining me to question Carolyn is Sarah Garrett Gaston, editorial writer for the Arizona Daily Star. If you have a question or comment, we welcome you to join us on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. Friday Focus on the Buckmaster Show is presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. Sarah, good to see you.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
And Carolyn, we welcome you to the program again. Thanks for coming.
Thank you. Yes.
It's a very sad day, and especially for you being a former Coloradan. You lived in Colorado for over 40 years.
Yes.
And you ran for Congress as a Republican candidate in the year 2000 in Colorado. And that state has had its share of tragedy this summer. The fire, the devastating fires, worst wildfire season in Colorado history. And now this horrible incident during the night at the movie theater in Aurora, Colorado.
Yeah, I mean, it's an unbelievable tragedy that anybody could be that insane to do something like that.
Really sad. Let's talk a little bit about the Republican slate of candidates. First of all, on the state level, the legislative level, they are running by and large pretty much on the way the legislature was able to balance the budget. Is that kind of the high point as you see it?
Yes, it certainly is, because when Frank Antonori went in there, state was facing something like a $3 billion deficit, and they have managed over these 4 years to bring the state to a balanced budget. They have actually prepared a three-year budget for the future and have a little bit of money in the rainy day fund. So I'm really quite excited about sending Frank back to the legislature along with Ted Vogt, who was in the state house. And I think we have, you know, good candidates.
But on the other side of the coin, the Democrats would say balancing the budget at what cost?
Well, I don't think at any cost. I mean, the school system still gets about 60% of the money that comes out. And I think what really has to happen there is that the school districts have to figure out a way to get more money into the classrooms. They have to figure out a way to reward the teachers who really can teach and educate. Because, I mean, if we don't improve the education of the poorer sections of town, these people are never going to get out of poverty because they're not going to have the skills to be able to do that.
Here's Sarah Garrett Gaston, the Star.
You said that you think that the budget has been balanced at really not any cost. And that brings to mind a story that the Josh Brodesky wrote about, I think just in yesterday's Arizona Daily Star, about how there are so many kids in CPS care and so not enough foster families to place them in group homes that they're having to basically have the offices open up as a place for kids to spend the night. CPS has taken cuts. Their workers are demonstrably overloaded with way too many cases for one person to adequately handle. I guess I'm curious, how is that not part of the cost of the budget, the human cost?
Well, I think that what you are looking at is you are assuming that the government can solve problems like that. And I see what the problem is the breakdown of families, where I would guess that most of these children are coming from homes that are broken homes, or maybe the mother never married. And our society is in serious trouble. But I'm not sure that government can solve those problems. Parents need to take responsibility for their own children.
I guess it's not so much the solving the problems as providing a safety net, at the very basic level. So when people do face, economic stress, drug addiction, things like that, that the people who suffer the most, the kids, the elderly, the people who don't really have the wherewithal to take care of themselves because of the virtue of who they are and where they are in the world, that kind of safety net is being broken down as the funding is withdrawn and withdrawn and withdrawn.
I don't have any statistics to quote on how much money was cut or for sure what the problem is. I think we've had problems with CPS for a long time. Of people who are taking these positions, maybe like some of the volunteer homes and things like that, are really not qualified, and they're basically just taking them for the money, and they don't really care about the kids. And it's hard. It's a tough life, and I would feel very, very sorry for the children who are being abused.
Carolyn Cox is with us. She is the GOP chair of Pima County. If you'd like to join in the conversation, if you have a question or comment, 790-2040, 790-2040. Carolyn, would you say generally then that government cannot solve Arizona's major problems, i.e. economic issues?
Well, there are a lot of things that they can do economically, but the social issues are things where people are really going to have to just step up and understand that we have to have some level of personal responsibility, and that if you have children, you have to understand that there is, that you have to give some effort and some time to raising them. But as far as the jobs and that kind of thing are concerned, the government definitely can influence by the amount of regulations that are put on. I know one of the stories that Ted Vogt was talking about, I believe it was Ted. One of the people about a person who was trying to remodel a business. And one inspector said, well, you've got to do this. And so they did that. And then the other inspector said, well, you shouldn't have put that fan in. You've got to take it back out. And, it's just dumb stuff like this that makes it so difficult for people to do business in Tucson. And that their government really can make a difference. And I think Phoenix is proving that. And I think that they have added probably about 100,000 jobs over where they were a year ago, and it's just because they're a more business-friendly community.
I wanted to ask about the process for as a representative of the Republican Party in Pima County. Is there a process or some sort of vetting that someone might go through, like a candidate training school, for lack of a better term, if you decide that I would like to run? How do you educate? How do people get educated about the issues? Is there something that the party does as a whole to make sure that the candidates who are saying they are Republicans are representing what the organization that exists in Pima County stands for?
Right. Both the Republican Party and the Democrat Party went together along with the Hispanic Chamber, and they put on an excellent candidate training program. I believe it was in April for anybody who wanted to come. And there were both Republicans and Democrats who were there, and they just talked about, how do you campaign, what are the issues, and things like that. And it was a good school. It was done very well.
The top two, as it's called, the open primary initiative, is that bad for Arizona, in your opinion, Carolyn Cox?
Yes, I really do, because I think that if you got – when you have a party-type primaries, you have the two parties working to get out the vote, to get people to understand who the candidates are, what the issues are, how they differ. And I think if you go with an open primary like that, or where there's just the top two vote getters are the ones then that go on to the election, I think you would lose a lot, and you would not get a very good representation for the final choice for people to vote on.
So the flip side of that is the criticism that the way the primaries, since voter turnout is typically low in the primaries, that the candidates that end up making it through the primaries to the general are on the farther right and farther left ends of the political spectrum, that you're missing the more centrist sort of folks. And therefore, when you get to the general, it's not much of a choice between different ideas. It's more ideologies rather than stances on specific local issues. What do you think about that criticism? And do you think that that is something that has been affecting politics in Arizona?
Well, I still believe that it would not, that we would not be any better off, and we would probably have an even lower turnout, and then you would get either two totally conservative candidates or two totally progressive candidates, whereupon you haven't really solved anything either. So, no, I still think that the primaries where the parties put up candidates gives people a better choice.
What about when and he's passed on now, but a guy like Joe Sweeney, who ran as I think probably every flavor of political party, but was not what most Republicans would say when he was running against Congressman Grijalva, did not represent what the mainstream Republicans wanted to be represented as in terms of these are the Republican values. As a party, how do you address those sort of candidates that don't really fall into what the main party is saying?
Well, what you're talking about is one of the unique situations where you have a candidate like Mr. Grijalva who had such control. I'm not sure that it was all I think there were a lot of payoffs and things like that, but who had such control of the district that it was really worthless for anybody to think in terms of running, because most people knew they couldn't be elected and they weren't going to waste their time and money to run. That's out of the control and would certainly not be solved by the thing that you're talking about.
So just to kind of circle back on what you just said, are you saying that you believe that Raul Grijalva did some sort of payoffs to
–
could you elaborate
totally
on that?
I think he totally controls his congressional district.
But you said the word payoff, so I'm not really quite sure what you mean by that.
I just think that people understand that, like a lot of the businesses understand that if they ever came out in favor of a Republican, that there would be repercussions to be paid, and so it makes it hard to compete in an area like that.
Well, I think also demographic, and I'm just what you're suggesting that a sitting congressperson did is, sounds unethical at the very least. And so I'm just wondering, one, how that sort of information would come to light, through you, how you know that was happening. And also, if you look at the district, I mean, just like if you looked at District 30 in the state,
the old
District 30. I mean, that is a solidly Republican district. You could say the same thing, that any Democrat running in that district really has no chance of being elected.
Well, it was competitive. It's always been competitive.
Well, but be that as it may, the Grijalva district,
has never been competitive.
But you could say that's part of voter registration and that's how things are. So mm-hmm. I'm just wondering, to go back to the payoff idea.
Are you saying it was a real payoff, like money payoff?
No, I just think it's the kind of thing that influence that I mean, there are a lot of people now who businessmen who aren't willing to say whether they're a Republican or a Democrat. They don't want to say just because they don't want that known for a business purpose.
We're going to have to take a break right here. Coming up now on 12:19 on the Buckmaster Show Friday Focus with Carolyn Cox, chair of the Pima County Republican Party, 790-2040, if you'd like to join us.
Thank you.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439. A simple solution to foot and lower back problems could be a top-quality custom-made foot orthotic created by Bob Novak. A certified pedorthist, Bob is the best in Southern Arizona in the creation of the right foot support that your body needs and at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak a call, 795-2553, or visit him at Arizona Limb and Brace, Rosemont and Fifth Street. Your feet will thank you every day. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways, with more than a dozen projects underway, including the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has ongoing support of expanded SunTran, SunVan service, SunExpress, and SunShuttle neighborhood service. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Two of the world's largest pharmaceutical giants, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, know where bio works. It works at Innovation Park in Oro Valley, one of the 10 best towns for families, according to Family Circle magazine. Bioscience and bioindustry, working together at Innovation Park with 275 acres of inspiring environment ready for bio development. Learn more about where bio works at innovationparkaz.com. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for fresh and healthy pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is handcrafted using the finest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore's award-winning wood-fired pizzas, certified authentic by the world-renowned Verace Pizza Napolitana Academy, is pizza perfection. Vero Amore, North Swan at Camp Lowell, and in Marana at Dove Mountain, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com and on Facebook.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing: people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, 1223 on our Friday Focus interview. Today, our Friday Focus interview is with Carolyn Cox. She's the chair of the Pima County Republican Party. And Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial writer of the Arizona Daily Star, is up next with the next question. Sarah?
We were speaking about this a bit during the break, about the rise and the increase in the number of independent voters. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I was just wondering, as someone who obviously values the party structure and the organization that can bring, how do you see the increase in the number of people who are saying, you know what, I'm not going to affiliate with either, and I'm just going to be independent?
Yeah, I wish I knew exactly how to answer that question, but I think that it is really that younger people just simply do not go to meetings. They don't join any kind of group. They don't join the Kiwanis Club or the Rotary Club or any of those kind of things as much as they used to. And I think they get a lot of their information over the internet, and they just don't feel a need to be part of associated with the party in order to get information, because they can get that so easily.
Do you think it's a reflection on the national parties or just the mood in the country, how things are? Everyone says polarized. I guess that's a good word to use. Do you think that turns away people?
Yeah, I do think so. And I think people are busy with their own personal lives, and I think people are in economic trouble right now of not having a job and looking, figuring out how they're going to pay their bills, and they are just consumed by trying to just live their lives, and they don't get deeply involved in politics until it gets really, really close and time to vote, and then they, scurry around and try to figure out who they're going to vote for, and some of them don't vote. I think it's a tragedy that the voter turnout is as low as it is. I'd like to see it be 100%, but that certainly is not.
Should we do like Australia and make it mandatory? And if you don't show up at the polls, you get a traffic ticket. I don't think Americans would go for it.
I don't think Americans would go for it. But, and maybe the stress in school is not as much on that everybody should vote and that you should inform yourselves about the candidates. And this is the procedure. I don't know where we've lost it, because I think that it was far more – that people felt it was far more too important to vote in the past than it is now.
We have you on record on the open primary. You say it's bad for Arizona. The other marquee initiative that's getting all the publicity, of course, is the 1 cent sales tax, which will likely be on the ballot, extending that and dedicating that to education. How do you feel about that one?
Well, I just feel like that we already have a sales tax of 9.1%, which is a huge sales tax. And it's a huge tax on the people who can least afford it. And I think if you put in another 1%, you're at 10.1%. And pretty soon, it just becomes prohibitive. And it makes people think that with the combination of property taxes and sales taxes to say that you don't have enough money for schools, I think we have to go back and see how the schools are spending that money. And I think – if administration is taking half the cost, then there's something wrong with what administrators are being asked to do, and there's too little focus on the classroom.
It wouldn't be an additional to what we
have.
No,
I think it would be replacing the
one
existing
that's sunsetting the current 1 cent sales tax.
So yeah, I think you're right.
It would stay at 9.1%, right, sir?
Right.
Even 9.1%. But the other problem with this thing is that when it was passed, we were promised. The promise was that this would be a temporary tax. And I think that the government, when the politicians make promises, they need to honor those promises.
Well, along the lines of promises, voters were told with that one, the one that Governor Brewer supported that's now sunsetting, were told that this would go for education, and it was sort of funneled off and used in other places. Yeah, so it's I think that, speaking of promises, that's part of the issue, and that one of the differences with the upcoming one is that it would be like earmarked for – the legislature couldn't touch it. So I think that's one of the other differences.
Yeah, the only problem is that when we go and tell the legislature what they can't touch, and then it comes time to cut the budget, and there are things that the voters have voted on. What was the proposition that they tried to repeal? I can't remember
now. I'm not remembering the name.
But anyway, it was one where it really tied the hands of the legislatures. And so part of the reason that they had to cut school funding was because that was one of the things that they could cut in order to get the budget in line.
I know that Pima County is obviously different than Maricopa County, and Tucsonans take a lot of pride in that for a lot of reasons. But just speaking as a someone active in Republican circles, what is your take on the Sheriff Joe Arpaio the whole birther investigating Obama, President Obama's birth certificate, that whole thing, because it seems to keep going on and on. And I'm just curious about your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I'm just as curious as you are. I don't know why it
No, but I'm asking about your thoughts.
My thoughts are that it's a waste of time to pursue that kind of thing.
Is it a waste of time? Real quick answer about Mr. Romney's tax returns.
Well, you know, I think that the thing that's really indicative is that when they asked Nancy Pelosi if she would release her tax return, she said, well, my goodness, no, that's private. So I don't understand how come the Speaker of the House is who would be the next in line to be president if the vice president and the president were to be deceased. Why wouldn't it be appropriate to look at her tax return?
Carolyn Cox, thank you very much. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
We'll come up next with the Reporters Roundtable. Sarah Garrett-Gasson stays on with me, and Mari Herreras joins us from the Tucson Weekly. That's coming up next. Stay with us.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Police in the Denver suburb of Aurora say the man who killed a dozen people at the midnight showing of the new Batman movie last night was carrying a semi-automatic rifle, a shotgun, and a couple of pistols. He also wore a gas mask. The suspect, 24-year-old James Holmes, is now in police custody. In addition to the 12 people who were killed, more than 50 others were wounded in the attack. Authorities trying to figure out how they can safely enter the apartment of the suspect. They say that a camera they sent inside revealed that the apartment is booby-trapped. Mourners in Israel today have been burying the 5 Israeli victims of Wednesday's bus bombing in Bulgaria. Israel blames it on Iran. The Dow down 125 points. More details at srnnews.com.
Remember when you used to make mud pies when you were a kid? Here's your opportunity to get down to earth again and have some fun. Come join us for the Silver City Clay Festival, August 3rd through 5th, in unique, beautiful, historic Silver City, New Mexico. This 3-day celebration offers exhibits, 14 fabulous workshops, youth activities, films, and all sorts of mud fun. Everyone is getting in on the clay action. Downtown restaurants, bars, musicians, and more. Also available are free lectures, tours, and clay demonstrations. 2 juried events are taking place, an art tile show and a neo-numbreño competition. Don't miss the gala opening event at WNMU. For more information or to sign up for workshops, go to clayfestival.com or email info@clayfestival.com or call 575-538-5560. Come have fun and play in the mud with us. See you there.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable rugs looking like new with Arizona's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at East Fort Lowell and Dodge and say hello to owner-operator Amir Karimi. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. It's KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Noble Hops Gastro Pub is for people who revere their beer and their food. Noble Hops specializes in high-quality, delicious food and offers an impressive, ever-changing selection of handcrafted beers from around the world with more than 24 on tap. Noble Hops, a pub for foodies at the southeast corner of La Canada and Lambert in Oro Valley, and always on the web at NobleHopsPub.com and on Facebook.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It is 12:36 in Tucson, and we are on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. Time for our Friday Reporters Roundtable. We bring local journalists to the microphone, and they can sound off on the week's top stories. Joining me on the roundtable today, Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial writer for the Arizona Daily Star, and Mari Herreras, staff writer for the Tucson Weekly. Mari is with us now on the Buckmaster Show live line. If you have a question or comment, you are always welcome to join us at 790-2040. The Reporters Roundtable on the Buckmaster Show is presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley. Splendido is a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. Sarah, we have already said welcome to you. Let's now welcome Mari. How are you doing, Mari?
I'm doing great. Hi, Sarah. Hi, Bill. How are you guys?
Doing real well, and thank you for joining us. Our top story, we'll begin with Sarah on this one. Sarah, did you write this in today's Arizona Daily Star, editorial?
I did, yes.
I am referring to state should let ruling on the sales tax petition stand. You're basically saying that Arizona Secretary of State Ken Bennett, okay, the judge has made his decision. Are we going to spend a lot of taxpayer money now sending this up to another court level?
Right. It was pretty clear from the brevity of the hearing and the time it took the judge to in Maricopa County Superior Court to reach his decision that Ken Bennett, Secretary of State in Arizona, who had rejected some 290,000 signatures on petitions over this 1 cent education and job sales tax proposal, that Bennett's reasoning was just not following Arizona law, and that
in fact
that
didn't the judge say something like, "I'm really confused. Why are we even here?"
Right. It seemed to be kind of loud and clear. You're wasting everyone's time.
Yeah.
And so I think the rest of the editorial board agreed that for Bennett to waste anyone's time, effort, money, all that would be ridiculous. So he should just decide not to appeal it. Let it go to the ballot and let the voters have their say on whether they want this or not.
Mari, one of the areas, of course, that you cover for the Tucson Weekly, education, give us your thoughts on this.
I think that I couldn't agree more with Sarah in the editorial this morning. But we have this wonderful history of our state folks putting this in further litigation and saving more money, which seems so contrary to what they tell us they espouse or believe. But I think that the fact that the judge was the judge's reaction to the ruling was so funny and so obvious. But it will be interesting to see what Bennett does next in this whole in this whole case, but I can't imagine why he'd want to go further and with further litigation.
And I want to add also about Ken Bennett, who, I mean, he's sitting, you know, in an elected office. He is a Republican. When he first got into office, he's also in that position is in charge of elections throughout the state. He said he's not going to participate. It would be inappropriate, right. Things like that, which seemed, you know, very noble, very appropriate. Common sense, but then he got involved in politics with the whole
the birther thing,
that whole ridiculousness. He's the state chair of Mitt Romney's campaign, and he basically said, and I'm paraphrasing, of course, but everyone's going to think I'm partisan anyway, so I might as well just be upfront about it. And I think that stance and his decision to sort of abandon the high ground, which he had first taken, really brings into question every single decision that he is making, and it makes it really difficult to think that this is anything other than politics.
I think it's go ahead, Mary.
I remember meeting him with him right after he took off to talk about elections issues in Pima County, and he did seem really upfront and open, and the guy who wasn't going to play around with this kind of stuff. But it didn't take long, and like you said, and how. You know, it's kind of sad to see that happen because he really did start off on a pretty good foot.
Yeah, he did as a centrist. And whether someone had told him, perhaps, you know, if you're going to run for governor, you need to go a little more to the right or what.
Mm-hmm.
But there does seem to be a change in Ken Bennett. I want to move on to the Mexican-American Studies story that Mari Herreras has covered extensively at the Tucson Weekly. We have former board president Mark Stegeman now saying that he wants to return to the district classroom 7 books that were removed as part of the elimination of the MAS courses. What do you think, Mari?
I'm sorry to start off laughing. I'm not exactly sure what Mark is thinking. I mean, I think when I posted a blog on The Range, The Weekly, about posting that there was going to be this press conference and his proposed resolution, the fact is that he sent out the press release on his campaign email address, which I thought was odd and conflicting in terms of what is this message supposed to really mean for us. He says it's not a political strategy. I know some people are saying that it is. I can't imagine it being. And also, it furthers the issue. I mean, it furthers this issue out in the internet and whatnot. You know, if these folks are hoping that somehow they can change the way there's the national media is covering this, or the way we're looking at the school board and past decisions, I can't imagine people can this can make that world of a difference. It can't.
Well, I do think that because this whole situation, and I've covered TUSD for it seems like a zillion years, time slows the closer you get to 10:10.
Yeah.
But the idea that, I mean, progress and things need to change, things need to come back to some sense of whatever the new format for the ethnic studies as a whole and the new curriculum that they're working on, and I think Augie Romero is heading up. So steps do need to be made, and I think that if it's going to be made in an atmosphere where every single step by board members, you know, and I understand that Mark Stegeman has a different standing on this issue than some others who have been very supportive unilaterally of the MAS situation, that if every single movement is going to generate protests and outrage, then the kids are the ones who are never going to get to be in a district that is at peace and is able to focus on the education of every child, especially in a district that is majority Latino. So I think
the way I'm sorry to interrupt. I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right to some extent, except that I think then let's make these decisions in a way that where people are actually there's some thought or some planning behind them. And having Mark Stegman bring up the resolution, probably not such a good idea. And also, and having it be part of this planning that you're talking about that does need to take place and does need to be thoughtful and does need to be involved in the community. And you're right, these decisions, they need to come with decisions that are going to be coming before the board in some fashion, I imagine, like the books. But I think that, you know, right now there needs to be more thought. And I just don't feel, I feel like since the decision was made to suspend the classes in January, there hasn't been much thought and planning involved in exactly what the steps are taking, at least from a public perspective. And I think this is just another example of that.
I also think that the focus needs to be directed about 100 miles north of here to the legislature and to the Department of Education and to the Attorney General's office, because while we feel everything very locally because it's obviously affecting directly TUSD schools and kids, that the board is not the only actor in this. This is part of a much bigger mosaic of very damaging legislation and policy that's been coming out of the Capitol.
Dave, we'll go now to David on the Buckmaster Show. David, you're with us on the Buckmaster Show live line. Go ahead.
Yeah, I remember calling in once on this show, the Buckmaster Show, when Stegman was on, and, you know, asking him about the book ban. And TUSD and the board, since January, have been denying that books are banned. They use different words and everything. And I remember once being at the Tucson Festival of Books where the students had the seven books that were banned, and people coming by and yelling at them saying, "You're lying. You know, there is no book ban." And you know, Stegman has reiterated this also. So how can he unban books which are never banned? And I think that's what's really deceitful about this, because our community has been vilified and called liars this whole year. And no one ever addresses that. Like, how, you know, why were you saying the books weren't banned to begin with?
Okay. Mari, a quick comment.
Well, I'd agree. I mean, I think, you know, Sarah, yes, we do need to focus a little bit on the crazies of the state that have been pushing legislation like this. It is part of a mosaic of anti-Mexican-American legislation that we've been dealing with for years. But, and I think that, though, it would be nice, I think, on part of the very community as a whole, instead of vilifying, I think, people who are the protesters, the people who are trying to, the activists that are trying to shed light more and more on this subject. And it seems that, yes, the attack is always on Mark Stegman or board members, but I think it's also just it also means that I think the community needs to respond in some way. And we haven't really seen that. It's been folks like A.B. Morales and things like that, and we just haven't seen a greater response.
Go ahead.
Would be nice, I think, to see, because it has been damaging to the community, and I don't think we can get beyond that until there is some thoughtful planning process that comes out of TUSD that shows that they recognize that, and we haven't seen that.
Sarah, go ahead.
And the other question that I think comes to mind, and probably in the minds of a lot of folks who've been following this issue, maybe not as closely as Murray, you and I have, and others who are, you know, there for the day-to-day sort of thing. But it seems, just from a public relations standpoint, that people very understandably and correctly were upset that these books were pulled out of the classroom. But now that there's a motion to put them – or to put them back into the classroom, that is also still a problem based on who the person is that's making the motion, Mark Stegman. And so I think for the clarity, the sake of clarity, it's getting so wrapped up in personalities and the players, and it's not focusing on, you know, well, we can get these books back in the classroom. That has been the goal the whole time. This is a positive move, and let's embrace this rather than focus on the players.
We're going to have to wrap it up here real quickly, but sad note about Connie.
Yes.
The elephant.
The beloved elephant.
And people wonder, well, did the move aggravate her condition?
Yeah, I'm obviously not.
Who knows?
I'm not a pachyderm expert.
She did have good care. She did have good care, apparently, over in San Diego.
Right. And I think, but I think just, you know, as someone who watched Connie over the years, and, you know, she was a longtime resident of the Reed Park Zoo, and with the whole controversy of should they stay or should they go, people kind of got attached. And so this is a very sad ending to a saga that was handled wrongly, I think, by the zoo. But it's, I don't know, it's just, it's sad.
It is. Mari?
Yeah, couldn't agree more. We, I think that, you know, we I don't know if maybe if Sarah could, Sarah and I could take over the city, we could help them deal better with certain issues that come up. And one of them would be what to do with the elephants at Reed Park Zoo. And that, you know, along with QSC, we'd have it all in a, you know, handled all correctly.
Yeah.
But,
and
you know,
don't forget Rio Nuevo, too.
Right. Yes, please. Give
well,
that to us.
I made this suggestion years ago to someone in the city that when with the whole idea of High Corbett, that they should just put the elephants there. It's a nice big area. They'd have a dugout. They
there
could play.
Go.
But it got it went nowhere.
They could wear little uniforms.
And too. They could drink beer.
Mari Herreras, thank you very much from the Tucson Weekly. Sarah Garrett Gasson, both of you have a great weekend. We'll be back with Weekend Watch. Thanks.
Thank you.
Take care.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. You know the benefits of soft water, right? Softer laundry, softer skin, hair, and spot-free glasses. And once you have soft water, you can't live without it. But did you know a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy compared to a time clock water softener? Now that's efficient. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener really is the world's most efficient water softener. So put it to work in your home and start saving today. It virtually ends hard water spotting throughout your entire home, from your glasses to the shower doors. In fact, it makes all your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer too, like your dishwasher and washing machine, even your water heater. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener delivers real soft water and real savings. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
If you're having foot or lower back pain, you're not alone. My foot doctor recommended custom foot orthotics created by Bob Novak. Bob is a certified pedorthist and best in Southern Arizona at creating just the right foot support at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak, the owner of Arizona Limb and Brace, a call at 795-2553 or visit Bob at Rosemont and 5th. I did, and my feet thank me every day.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson, Cold Road Extension to Sabino Canyon Road, and Speedway from Camino Seco to Houghton. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Why should you fly at a TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
With 275 acres of stunning environment, Innovation Park in Oro Valley is ready for development. Already, two of the world's largest pharmaceuticals, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, are settled in Innovation Park. Innovation Park, a great place to do business in Oro Valley, named one of the 10 best towns for families by Family Circle magazine. Find out more at innovationparkaz.com.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowland Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchases, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Of course, that music signals Weekend Watch, and Weekend Watch is presented by Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico. Get down to earth at Silver City's first celebration for the love of clay. August 3rd, 4th, and 5th, come to the Clay Festival. And then explore historic Silver City. Nice climate over in Silver City. Great elevation. Hike and enjoy the spectacular wilderness of the Gila National Forest. Plenty of great accommodations, including Bear Creek Cabins. For more, log on to southwestnewmexico.org. And that music also means Matt Russell with Weekend Watch. Matt, I have dubbed Tucson's culinary cruiser. And Matt, because today is the 43rd anniversary of the first moonwalk, did you really have to wear that T-shirt into Russell Communications today saying, I'm really ready to go to the moon?
Well, you know, I can do the moonwalk and enjoy a moon pie. I mean, that's really what this is all about, is good food, right, Bill?
It always is about good food, and usually you give us a fun place to go on a Friday night. Where do you suggest tonight?
Yeah, tonight is Friday Night Live. The Jazz Summer Concert Series is going to continue this evening down at Main Gate Square, that two-block stretch of deliciousness on University Boulevard between Park and Euclid. And at 7 o'clock tonight, the famous saxophone player Kellen Thomas is going to be playing. And, of course, while you're down at Main Gate Square for the concert, you must get something to eat. And, Bill, I suggest a spicy meal on a hot evening at Kebabecue Indian Grill. I think the chicken tikka masala is far and away the best I've ever had in Tucson. Friday Night Live tonight at Main Gate Square.
So you're talking about a little curry activity then after the Main Gate Square.
Yeah, get those curry, some of those great Indian spices. They do it all really well then.
Yeah, and don't forget the special bread. The naan bread is so good.
Oh, yeah.
Peach Mania? it is peach season. I'd love some peaches right about now.
Yeah, summertime is the season that we celebrate peaches. And the international destination for peach enthusiasts, Bill, is Apple Annie's Orchard in Wilcox. And Peach Mania 2012 is in full swing all weekend long, starting with this. Get this, peaches and pancakes breakfast on Saturday morning. You can take a wagon ride through the beautiful peach orchard to pick your own, or you can just sit back and relax with a bowl of peach ice cream and a culinary cruiser-sized slice of peach pie. All you got to do is take I-10 to exit 340 and follow the signs into Wilcox. Peach Mania, here we come, Bill.
Well, you know, the culinary cruiser, when it comes to a pie, a piece of pie, think of this. Think of a pie right out of the oven there at Apple Annie's, and then the culinary cruiser portion is literally one-fourth of the pie.
If you were to stand on a piece of pie that I eat, you would experience weightlessness, Bill. That's how it goes.
And a nice pint, a pint of ice cream to go along with it. How about Tucson Originals? They're doing some great summer specials.
Yeah, as you know, all summer long, their member restaurants have got the $20 summer specials. And our pick this week is the Tequila Factory out at the Casino del Sol. Now, how can you possibly go wrong, Bill, at a place called the Tequila Factory? Their summer special is going to feature chips and guacamole to start, followed by their famous taco bar for two, and two flan desserts, which is so good, so sweet, so yummy, for only $20. And with more than 100 different tequilas to choose from, I'm sure you're going to be able to find something to wash it all down with. The Tequila Factory at Casino del Sol, TucsonOriginals.com has all the information.
And, of course, you are officially certified as a taco taster.
I am, by the National Taco Association. It's a designation that I consider a very, very proud of the training bill that went into that designation.
All right. Matt, have a great weekend.
Cheers, Phil.
Thanks a lot. Support for the Buckmaster Show comes in part from our friends at Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. Culligan Water, providing the bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, offering the best drinking water and the largest variety of water treatment products and services available to your home and business. We love Culligan Water. It just simply tastes better. The Buckmaster Show is a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. On behalf of our team, producer, the birthday girl yesterday, Rosemary Brandt, I am Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and safe weekend, and try to stay cool. Have a good one.
KVOI Cortero Tucson and 930 KAPR Douglas, The Voice, Good News Radio Network.